ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We will chant Vraja Govindam verses 6 to 10. We will chant the chorus and then 6 to 10. Vraja Govindam, Vraja Govindam, Govindam, Vraja Mudamate, Samprapte Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukrinkarani, Yavak Pavano Nivasati Dehe Tavat Prachati Kushalangehe Gatavati Bhayo Deha Paye Bharya Vibhyati Tasmin Kaye Balastavat Krida Saktah Tarunastavat Karuni Saktah Vriddhastavat Chinta Saktah परमे ब्रह्मणि कोऽपि न सक्तः काते कांता कस्ते पुत्रः संसारो यमति विचित्रः कस्य त्वं कः कुतायातः तत्त्वं चिन्तय तदिह प्रातः सत्संगत्वे निस्संगत्वं निस्संगत्वे निर्मोहत्वम् निर्मोहत्वे निश्चलतत्त्वं निश्चलतत्त्वे जीवन्मुक्तिः वयसि गते कः कामविकारः शुष्के नीरे कः कासारः क्षीणे वित्ते कः परिवारो ज्ञाते तत्त्वे कः संसारः भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते सम्प्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि रति दुःखं करणे। భజ గోవిందం భజ గోవిందం గోవిందం భజ. సీక్ ద రియాలిటీ, సీక్ ద రియాలిటీ, సీక్ ద రియాలిటీ, హీ సేస్ త్రీ టైమ్స్. ద టెక్స్ట్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో కాల్డ్ అస్ భజ గోవిందం అండ్ ది అనదర్ నేమ్ ఫర్ భజ గోవిందం ఇస్ మోహ ముద్గర. మోహ ముద్గర మీన్స్ అప్లిఫ్టర్ ఆఫ్ డెల్యూజన్. సో ద డెల్యూజన్ ఇస్ ది ఎగ్జాజరేటెడ్ వాల్యూ ప్లేస్డ్ towards the worldly objects and beings which are passing, fleeting in nature, transient in nature. They are only useful in this world for transient purpose. Nothing more, nothing less. To preoccupy the mind with that is not going to give you that full contentment that you are searching for. Since you will not get that contentment from the world, because any achievement in the world will have four imperfections. Firstly, whatever you may achieve, it is anitya. It is impermanent. It is not permanent. It is only temporary. And secondly, it is sadishaya. Sadishaya means whatever you achieve, you always feel that you should have got more. There is still more to achieve. Never do you get the feeling that I have achieved whatever has to be achieved. There is nothing more remains to be achieved. So it's called sadishaya. That is another imperfection. Another imperfection is dukkha mishritva. Dukkha mishritva means mixed with sorrow. All our achievements involve loss of material stuff or physical energy. Something or the other you need to lose to get that. Now, even to get the intelligence, the worldly intelligence, knowledge, there's a lot of energy, physical energy, mental energy, you got to use. Any success in the world, anything material, there's a lot of physical and mental energy lost to get that. Now, expending your physical energy for X amount of time, you save some money. And that money is saved in the bank, and that money you lose to buy a car. So there is when you lose something, there is dukkha. So that dukkha mishratva. And then last but not the least, he says, binds, everything binds you. It is bandhatmaka. The nature of any achievement in the world, once you have achieved, though it doesn't give you that full satisfaction and the second and third and fourth contact starts reducing the enjoyment from the object, without it, you will suffer. So you are bound. You don't know what to do. You are bound with it. Without it, you can't imagine a life. That bondage comes. It doesn't give you freedom. So the four imperfections are anitya, it is sadishayam, still you are left out with the feeling that I want more. There's a lot more to be achieved. I don't feel that I've achieved what I need, what needs to be achieved. Then dukkha mishritvam, there is loss. And then it is binding. Bandhatmaka. It is binding. It's not letting you free. Swatantra. So what I am looking for is nitya, niradishaya, shuddha and swatantra. Whenever I am contacting something, what is the hope with which I am contacting the worldly objects and beings? I am contacting with the idea that whatever I get will be giving me permanent happiness. Nitya sukham, not anitya sukham. I want nitya sukham. Then I want niradishayam, meaning having attained, there should be nothing else remaining to be achieved. That's called niradishayam. Then shuddham. Shuddham means it's not mixed with sorrow. It should be clean. And then swatantra. Swatantra means it should let you free. It should not bind you. So whatever we achieve in this world has these doshas. So once I realize these doshas, then I will only contact it for transactional purpose. More than that, I am not going to contact. It should be very clear. What is the reason I am going here for? I am going here for these reasons. When that is clear, nothing wrong in contacting the world. So, deep inside, in your subconscious, 24/7, there should only be identification with Brahman. So, he says, the problem in the world is preoccupation and not the occupation. So, he says, balastavat kridasakta. In your small children, you are preoccupied with the playthings. Balastavat kridasakta. Then, tarunastavat taruni sakta. The moment you come to the level of a youth, then you are preoccupied with the opposite sex and career, etc. Tarunastavat taruni sakta. Vriddhastavat chinta sakta. The moment you come to the old age, you start worrying about the past and anxiety of the future. So, constantly the mind is preoccupied, it is never free. So therefore he says, when are you going to think of Brahman? He says, Vriddhastavat chinta sattaha parame brahmani kopina sattaha. When is there time for you to think of Brahman? Never do you really think of Brahman. Hardly anybody thinks of Brahman, hardly anybody thinks of reality. See, when this kind of a situation strikes us, the absence of it doesn't bother you. And if you are seeking it, you are seeking it only for the purpose of utility in the world. That's about nothing else. So therefore, the presence or absence of an object or a being doesn't make any difference to you. So therefore, the term vairagya should actually be translated as absence of attachment. Because the word detachment, a lot of us misunderstand, and in the form of detachment, what is happening is we are running away from it. The more you run away, you are actually giving value to it. So detachment, in the true sense of the term, what it means is absence of attachment. Why there is no attachment? because you understand it is only the shadow of reality. The substratum that supports it is reality. So when it is the substratum that is real, why should I compromise on the unreal and get attached to it? It is only useful in the worldly sense. So I'll use it. And therefore my mind becomes free. And he moves to the next verse. After this preoccupation is questioned, he goes to the most powerful attachment. The most powerful attachment is family. So he's saying, question that. That's the next verse. Kate kanta kaste putraha samsaro yamativa vichitraha. Kate kanta kaste putraha samsaro yamativa vichitraha. Kasya tvam kaha kutayataha tatvam chintayata diha brataha. Kasya tvam kaha kutayataha tatvam chintayata diha brataha. Kate kanta kaste putraha samsaro yam eva vichitraha. Kasya tvam kaha kutayataha tatvam chintayata diha brataha. Adi Shankara is addressing disciples very lovingly as brother. Brataha. Brataha means, oh brother, reflect on the truth here. What is he asking us to reflect upon? He's saying, Kate Kantaha. Kate Kanta. Kate Kanta means, who is your wife? Kaste Putraha. Who is your son? Extremely wondrous is this terrestrial attachment. Whose are you? Kasya tvam kaha kuta ayataha. Who are you? From where have you come? Brother, reflect on that truth here. See, what he is trying to say is, reality is that which was, which is, which will be the same throughout. Reality is that which was, which is, and which will be the same throughout. So, everything that he's talking about here, your wife, your son, you, this physical body, here, whence are you, means this manifestation, this limited manifestation through this body, limited self, the individual. He's asking, where were you before? Do you know that? You don't know. Where was your wife before she came into relationship with you? You have no idea. Where was your son before he came into your life? No idea. So, like that, if you analyze, it's not only with reference to wife, son, he is talking about everything in the world. But extremely powerful is the family. So, he is talking about that. So, he is saying, who is your wife? Wife is all the things we are wedded to. And son is the product of that wedding. Anything that comes as the product of your wedding to any object or being is called as the son. So, you are wedded to not only to your spouse, you are wedded to your work, you are wedded to your position, you are wedded to your club. There are so many things that you are wedded to, all your attachments. And the most powerful is your immediate family. Yes, it is like everybody is coming into the compartment and you are traveling in the compartment together for a little purpose. Little time. And each one's destination is something else. While you have come together, yes, there's a beautiful relationship. You enjoy the company of each other, but why do you let the other person stagnate you? It's the problem. We should grow up. We should not get stagnated. But all our attachments stagnate. That's the problem. We refuse to rise above it and reach the destination. See, the river actually originates from ocean. The water in the ocean evaporates due to the heat of the sun and gets condensed and pours down as rain and comes down as river and then flows towards the ocean. Goal of the river is to get back to the ocean. But in while it is traveling towards the ocean, there are a lot of obstacles. There will be a huge mountain, there may be a huge boulder, there may be a lot of obstacles in different forms. What does the river do? If it's possible, it flows so vehemently and consistently that it crushes the huge boulders into small pebbles and continues towards the ocean. And if it is not able to fight against the mountains, it goes around them and finds its way towards the ocean. So the river, in between, it may relate with many objects, many obstacles, but it never allows any other to stop it. Similarly, you are like that ocean, like that river. The origin is destination. We unite with that. That's called yoga. Yoga comes from the root yuj, which means to unite back to the origin. So the purpose of life is that infinite happiness. This is what we saw in the beginning of this class also. Everybody is looking for that infinite happiness, which is permanent. So whether you know it or you don't know, directly or indirectly, you are seeking only that. So you reach that, you can't rest content. And you cannot allow any of your relationships that has come in between to stop you from pursuing that. This is the problem. So therefore, he says, question, ka te kanta, who is your wife? To the object and being that you are so attached, inquire. Little withdraw yourself and inquire. From where did they come? Where were they before? Do you have the same kind of attachment to them? See, it's very, very interesting. The wedding and all that has a lot of ceremonies, you know. And they call us roka here, right? The moment the roka is done, then there are so many rituals. And slowly, slowly, mentally and through the rituals and everything, you slowly start developing that feeling. Once you develop that feeling and then finally when the wedding is over, now you become one mentally. Before that, she was born and brought up in some other family. You were born and brought up in some other family. You didn't even know each other. And before the birth, where were you? Before the birth, where was your son? Before the birth, where was your wife? From where are they coming? So Matthew Arnold, I'm not sure if it's Matthew Arnold or Mark Twain, they say, life is an arrow shot from darkness, flutters in light for a while and disappears into darkness. Life is an arrow shot from darkness. From where you come from to where you go, nobody knows. In between, we have come and in this arrangement, we have become husband, wife, father, children, friends, relatives, guru, sishya, etc. So there was a need in between to educate ourselves, to move towards the goal. So we have come together as teacher and students. So this relationship needs to be appreciated, enjoyed, all that is fine. But without inquiry, you get attached. I miss you. You know, so therefore he's saying, where did your wife come from? Who is your wife? Where was she before she came into this form? Because he's talking to the disciples who are men, he used the example of women and he's using the example of wife. So because this is a predominantly ladies' class, you should say, who is your husband? The word should be changed. So who is your husband, spouse? All the things that you are wedded to before you started the business, where was it? Are you master of your business or your business master of you? This is the problem. What was the reason for which you got into that? You forget that and you get stuck there. You are the master who created the business. But now you seem to be subservient to your business. Similarly, every relationship that has come in your life. It's come in between. So never lose that focus. Ask this question. It's a very, very beautiful thing that he says here. You've got to question your attachments. We never do that. If you really want freedom, it is not doing whatever you like that is freedom and avoiding doing what you dislike. That is not freedom. Freedom is freedom from all your mental entanglements, mental attachments. So therefore he says, Kate Kanta, who is your wife? Who is your son? See, especially in India, there is attachment to children and mostly to son. Because, you know, those who the son gives them star, he is the one who takes the forward according to them. The daughter is married into some other family. So the surname is carried by the son. So there is tremendous attachment. In your son, you want to live. Because your son is a photocopy of you. People say, he's got the same eyes like you. He's got the same nose like you. You know, he's got the same forehead like you. So you are basically seeing yourself in your son. So really speaking, you are interested only in your eternity. It is through the children we try to live vicariously. Because this body knows it has an expiry date. This body comes with an expiry date. The day it is born, the day it is manufactured, the day it is manifest, it has got its own expiry date. And since this body has its own expiry date, our mind, what does it do? We go for progeny and we get attached to them. And then, why? Because it is through them my legacy is taken forward. I am living, my surname is taken forward in some form or the other. It's me. So, really speaking, you are deeply interested in living eternally. So, that is why this attachment. So, that's what he's saying. Inquire this attachment. What is going on? Instead of trying to foolishly try to live this way, why don't you find yourself? So, who are you? From where have you come, oh brother? Reflect on the truth here, in this world right now. Because the only time that is true is this moment. Mind never stays in the moment. It keeps going to the past and future. It never stays in the present. So therefore, he says, reflect on this truth here, right now. This moment is the only moment which is true. The past is history, it's dead. The future is never born. It's your imagination. The only thing that is true is this moment. So use this moment to reflect on that and catch hold of that present. But the problem is, mind keeps living in the past or future. It never comes to the present. And you think that your wife and children and everybody will help you to survive in future. Therefore, keep investing time, everything in those. But you never ever identify with the truth, which comes with you always, which has always been there. Even though you don't care for it, it continues to remain there. So there seems to be some kind of a value that is attached to things that come in between. They are not at all aware of the thing that has always been with us. That's the problem. So therefore, he's asking us to question all these attachments. Because these attachments are the human weakness. It is due to the attachment we suffer. It is not the world that makes us suffer. It is the attachment that causes the suffering. Please understand this. World is impossible to give you sorrow. Give you suffering. It is your attachment. So therefore he is saying, by thinking about the reality, you got to come out of this human weakness called the attachment, there's no point in getting attached. So he's not asking us to give up the possessions. He's asking us to rise above the possessiveness. Possessiveness that we carry towards these possessions is the problem. So this possessiveness is what causes suffering, not the possessions. So in the name of Vedanta, a lot of people think, oh, Vedanta will make you give up possessions. No, who said Vedanta will make you give up possessions? Never. It only says, you've got to be intelligent enough to marry your possessions to your purpose. A sensible way of living is that when thing is not useful for any of your purpose, why do you want to accumulate it? When Hanumanji was presented with a mala, he didn't say Ram, so he threw it. Hey, what's the use of it for me? So a human being is one who directs his energies towards the purpose of life. The possessions also should be put for use towards the purpose. So that's all it says. So it's not trying to say don't have possessions. If your possessions are married to your purpose, then you lead a happy life. But if without a purpose you continue merely acquiring and aggrandizing, then you suffer. That's what Oliver Goldsmith says. Oliver Goldsmith says, where wealth accumulates, men decay. Men means women also. He said men doesn't mean women are exempted from this. Women or men means human beings decay. What does he mean by saying where wealth accumulates? See, there are two words we say. Got to be wealthy and prosperous. Wealth is stagnant. Prosperity is dynamic. Please understand this. When you set the wealth you have in motion towards your purpose, then you prosper. But the problem is mind wants to possess and it's got the wealth it has and it stagnates. It's not put to use towards the purpose. Firstly, people don't have purpose. Their only purpose itself is to accumulate wealth. So he's saying if that's your way of living, then you suffer. So that's why Oliver Goldsmith says their wealth accumulates, men decay, human beings decay if the tendency is to accumulate. He's not talking about you should not become wealthy. Of course, if the wealth is, you know, if the prosperity is coming your way as a prasad, having contributed for the purpose, you will be putting it to use more and more. But the primary goal should not be that. That's all he's saying. So therefore, he's saying, question all your attachments. Don't get bound to them. You lose your freedom. It's not the people, but your infatuation. In fact, there are two, three statements that I read in the book of Swamiji, Vedanta Treatise and his lectures, which made me join the ashram when I first heard many, many years ago. That was in 1992. One statement is, it is not the length of study that matters, but that inspired me. And the second one, which he has given it in the book also, Vedanta Treatise book, in the very first chapter, he says, the role of Vedanta is to pull man out of his infatuation to celebrities and educate him on eternities. See, the problem is we are preoccupied with personalities. Lord Buddha says, yeah, don't get attached to personalities. And Buddha's tooth, Buddha's this, Buddha's that, everything they keep on holding and values given. You hold Buddha's teeth. None of his principles you care about. You know, this is the problem. Buddha himself said, don't get attached to personalities. Swami Ramtirtha says, message is delivered, kill the messenger. Not literally. Mentally, don't get attached. You know, a postman comes and delivers the message. You say thank you and you read the message. Instead of that, you're hugging the postman and not reading the message. What is the use? So therefore, all these are things and beings that has come in between. That which came in between will go in between. It's not permanent. So you will be deceived if you are attached to them. But the problem is when you suffer, you say they deceived you. They didn't deceive you. You, through your unintelligent identification, you are deceived. Wrong assessment or lack of assessment leading to undue expectations, leading to disappointment. Either lack of assessment or wrong assessment gives you undue expectations. You will develop new expectations, wrong expectations. And the wrong expectation will give you disappointment. What will you say? I am suffering because of my wife. I am suffering because of my husband. I am suffering because of this person. I am suffering because of that person. Who asked you to give you value to these things? Who asked you to do this? Why don't you use the time which is available right now to ask this question? So when anybody goes to Swami Ramana Maharishi and says, Swamiji, I am suffering from this pain. Acha, you are suffering from pain? Yes, yes, Swamiji, I am suffering from pain. Please help me. Acha, you tell me who you are. I am Lakshmi Narayana. That is your name. I can only relieve your pain if you tell me who you are, because you are suffering from pain. So then you say, no, I am this body. This body is not you. You say, my body is paining, so then you are different. So then he goes on like this. Then you finally understand that you don't know who you are. So he says, first about who you are, then tell me if the pain is there. So he shifts the attention from the pain to the person who is claiming to be going through the pain. So that's the whole idea here. You are saying this wife, this children, all these things, you know. How are you people able to travel like this? Huh? How are you able to do this? How come we are not able to do it? It's so much work. You know, you are very lucky. As if no work. See, it's the attachment. The problem is, see, for example, this is something which I never understood. Never understood means it's common for everyone. In Delhi, when the wedding seasons happen, now, thanks to Corona, not everybody expects you to come. Some of them deeply wish nobody comes also because of this Corona spread maybe. But during the normal time, during wedding season, there are so many weddings happening on the same day and you might be invited for 3 or 4 in a day. One may be in Noida, one may be in Gurgaon, one may be in Delhi, one may be in Sonipat. And you have to go for all the 4 weddings. So what to do? So everybody is running from this side to that side, and the phrase they use is shakal dikana. That's the phrase they use. We just want to go and show our face and come away. I really don't know who wants to see our face. But anyway, the point is they say we want to go and show our face. Now, why deeply if you see, what is the psychology? The psychology is if we show the face, then there will be faces during wedding in our family. So you are only interested in that. So if I am not going, then it may not be reciprocated. So what is the problem? The problem is your weakness. You do not have the strength, your weakness. I am not saying you should go or you should not go. Vedanta doesn't say anything like that. Vedanta doesn't say you should go, you should not go. All it says is, please find out when you come and say, oh my God, there are so many weddings, I have to go, thak gaya, energy nahi. And you are going on complaining. What are you complaining? You are thinking it is because you have to attend the 4 weddings. It is not because of that. It is because of your inner weakness. That is what is asking you to analyze. So you have the capacity to question. Do you exercise that capacity or not? You never inquire. That's the problem. You never inquire. So therefore, he says, oh brother, don't throw away the present moment. This is the truth. Nothing else is true. You know this moment, you are there right now, here. So it's time for you to ask this question. What is there all the time with me? Wife is not going to be there all the time with you. Son is not going to be there all the time with you. Your husband is not going to be there all the time with you. Your memory also is not going to be there all the time with you. Isn't it? I think before the class also we were talking about it. Growing old, forgetting and all that. So, memory also will not come with you. Then what are we collecting? What have we been collecting all our life? Is asking us to question that. All that we have been collecting is called precious trifle. A beautiful coinage of words Swamiji uses in his book. It's called precious trifle. See, it appears as gold, glittering, attractive, but it seems precious, but it is trifle. Really speaking, what is precious is Atma. And you don't have any value for it. You don't spend any time reflecting for it. You have no time for it. But you have all the time in the world for all this precious trifle in the hope that it will come with you forever. So therefore he appeals and says, please question, reflect, study, analyze, think, and develop this detachment before it kicks you, before you suffer. So now how do I come out of this attachment? Though he is already mentioned here, before going to that, how do I start? What is the starting point? In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 62 and 63, we studied what is called as the ladder of fall. How a human being falls. How does a human being fall? Dhyayato vishayam pumsaha sangasteshu bhajayate. Meaning what? When my thoughts muse over the object, indiscriminately, uncontrollably, then first thing that happens is sangha, attachment. So, jayato vishayam pumsaha sangasteshu bhajayate. Then, sangha sanjayate kamaha. From attachment comes desire. Kama krodho vijayate. When the desire is interrupted, whosoever interrupts, you get angry. Krodha bhavati sammoha. Once you get anger, you become completely deluded. You have no idea what you are doing. Sammoha smriti vibramaha. The moment you become deluded, all your knowledge, clarity, memory goes, intelligence goes. Then smriti bramshat buddhi nashaha. You don't know what is right, what is wrong. Discriminating ability is gone. Buddhi nashat pranashyati. When intellect is gone, everything is gone. This is how a human being falls. How did the whole thing start? It started with a thought, unintelligent, uncontrollable thought flow towards the objects. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. Vishaya means the worldly objects. By your thoughts musing over the worldly objects again and again and again, you develop attachment. I'm constantly thinking about my son, my daughter, my, me. Then you have become attached. Now it's me. Anything happens to them, happens to you. So therefore, that is the ladder of fall. Now, this verse number 9 of Bhajagovindam, we can call it as ladder of rise. How to rise? How to overcome this attachment? How to deal with this? Beautiful, beautiful verse. Let's chant verse number 9. Satsangatve nissangatvam nissangatve nirmohatvam satsangatve nissangatvam sangatvam nissangatve nirmohatvam nirmohatve nischalatatvam nischalatatve jivanmuktihi nirmohatve nischalatatvam nischalatatve jivanmuktihi satsangatve nissangatvam nissangatve nirmohatvam nirmohatve nischalatatvam nischalatatve jivanmuktihi. So what are the steps to liberation? What are the steps to freedom? There he talked about the steps to fall. How does a human being fall? Here he is talking about what are the steps to rise. So satsangatve nissangatvam. First thing he says is satsanga. Satsanga means sattvic company, good company. The company which helps you to be focused on the essence of life, the realities of life, the essentials of life. That's called satsanga. Satsanga is not company which is pleasant. They always keep me in good humor. No, that is not satsanga. Satsanga means good company. Satsangatve nissangatva. Nissanga means non-attachment, detachment. So from the company of the good arises non-attachment. So there is a constant effort required in maintaining a good company at all times, at all levels. Good company is not just friends. Good company means what books you read, everything. So from the company of the good arises non-attachment, nissangatva. Because the company of the good will make you question. The company of the pleasant will keep you in good humor and it will not help you to strive and struggle. Therefore he says, you got to intelligently attach with the good company. It's very, very important. Satsangatve nissangatva. Nissangatve nirmohatva. And the moment I become detached, I start seeing this nissanga we already discussed, which is absence of attachment. The moment the attachment goes, my delusion goes, my moha goes, my exaggerated value for the world is gone. And I start seeing things clearly in the right perspective. What is moha? Without it, I cannot live. Why did you go to that first? For transactional purpose. So you are the master, but it is enslaved you. This is called moha. Like you created the work and now the work is binding you. So that delusion is gone. Without work, I am nothing. Without this, I am nothing. For the sake of you, the work came in your life. You are not for work. That is the clarity. The opposite of it is delusion. I cannot let go of work. Oh my God, how can I? I cannot let go of this. I cannot let go of that. This is the delusion. See, Kalidasa, before he became Kalidasa, he was sitting on the branch of a tree and cutting the branch from where it starts. This is called delusion. The delusion is wrong thinking. Delusion means false thinking. So, all our thinking is false. I am going by the form. So therefore that is delusion. That delusion will go the moment I become non-attached. As long as I am attached, delusion will not go. Satsangatve nissangatvam, nissangatve nirmoham. Nirmohatve nishchala tattvam. Unless and until the moha for the world goes, you cannot get established in the tattva, the essence. You can memorize the verses. You see, the way we studied Bhagavad Gita, we studied each and every verse. There was an introduction before going to the Bhagavad Gita. Then we studied the invocation. Then we studied each and every verse of every chapter and we did the summary of every chapter. And then finally, because it took us a long time, we again did the summary of the entire 18 chapters. All that we have done, we have been talking on Bhagavad Gita, listening on Bhagavad Gita for so many years. So the verses are gotten by heart within us. But it is of no use. Because you haven't still seen the essence. Tattva Viveka is not there. Tattva Bodha is not there. The knowledge of Tattva is not there in us. Why? What is? How do you say that? The attachment is still there. We haven't seen the Tattva yet. The essence is not gone. We are still striving on the borrowed knowledge. It's borrowed memory. You know, from somebody. It's not your own. Nischala Tattva. Tattva means essence. So he says, you've got to get established in the essence. From non-delusion arises absolute steadfastness. Steadfastness means establishing in the essence. Following it consistently. Thereafter, nothing else matters. Only essence matters. Then, Nischala Tattve Jivan Mukti. Jivan Mukti means liberation while the body still lives. Where you have burnt the Sanchita and Agami Karma and you are only existing due to the Prarabdha Karma. That's called Jivan Mukti. When Prarabdha Karma is also exhausted, then the body is given away. When the body is given away, then the causal body, the subtle body and gross body all have merged. Then it is called Videha Mukti. So, the way to liberate while existing in this body, the whole thing starts with good company. So, the three transactions of life that all of us go through from the time we wake up till the time we go to bed, they are called 3R traffic of life. The 3R traffic are called receipt of stimuli, which comes from the external world, reaction within, and the response back to the world. We are like a miniature factory. In a factory which manufactures steel, the raw material comes from the world outside. And they process the raw material in the factory and they make a product out of it. And the finished product after quality test goes back for marketing into the world. Similarly, from the external world, the raw material comes in. So that's called the receipt of stimuli. What are the receipts? Color and form for the eyes, smell for the nose, sound for the ears, taste for the tongue, and touch for the skin. The 5 stimuli enter our senses. So he says, you got to start your scrutiny there. The same point even in Bhagavad Gita he said, in the 3rd chapter, he says, how does this enemy enter you? If you remember, he said, first he enters through the senses. And once he enters the senses, then what happens? He comes into the mind. And once he comes into the mind, then what does he do? He destroys the intellect. And when he destroys the intellect, what happens? He completely destroys you. This was said in the end of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3. Same concept here. Therefore, first make sure only good things are sent in. Good company means the company which helps you to attain Shreya, not Priya. Shreya means good. Priya means pleasant. So the problem is we have to start the effort there. So without sense discipline, if you take in knowledge, it will not go in. Therefore he says good company. The sense discipline is also part of the word good company. Please understand that. So therefore he says satsangatve nissangatva. So with the good company and you strive, then the non-attachment comes. And you can't expect non-attachment to come overnight. How did attachment come? Attachment came over a period of time. You didn't develop attachment overnight. So the attachment came over a period of time. Similarly, the detachment will come if over a period of time you hang around the good company. That is why we say to recharge yourself, going to the ashram and places like that, going for a retreat, often all this helps because of good company only. But the problem is people tend to go for retreats and do what is pleasant there also. Then what is the point? They might as well be at home. So therefore he says, first thing is control of the senses. Good company. We studied this concept in the 12 yajnas also. You know, so therefore, you got to ask the question as to what would be called as satsanga. Satsanga is not just coming to the classes or singing bhajans, listening to bhajans, etc. Keeping good company at all levels. That's very, very important. So, all kinds of receipts, even the thoughts, what kind of thoughts you receive. In the Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad, he says, desist from all other talks. You know, this gossiping, a very big problem. We put in all the negatives inside and then we suffer. So therefore, in fact, there was this talk and they said, during this COVID time, how to manage our time? The first thing I told them was, stop watching television too much. Because there's so much of negativity that will come into you. There are a lot of good things there also. You've got to watch those things, not the negative things. Because you will not be able to handle it. You do not have the same digesting capacity as a man of perfection or a woman of perfection has. Like Ganeshji. The symbolism of Ganeshji having a big stomach is that he can stomach any issue, any problem. But you do not have that. So when the negative goes in, it stirs up the whole thing. Therefore, you've got to be very, very conscious as to what goes in. Because G-I-G-O, remember that. Garbage in, garbage out. If you are only throwing garbage into you, what you will get out will be garbage. Nothing else. So there are a lot of people starting spiritual journey without any sense control. It will not rectify. That's what he's saying. And your mind should entertain pure emotions. You've got to start working on your emotions also. Nobler emotions. Love, kindness, compassion. These kind of emotions. Forgiveness. But then, you know, we will entertain all kinds of negative emotions. And then we study Bhagavad Gita and think that because I'm studying, some change should happen. What will happen? Nothing will happen. So therefore, you've got to also entertain pure emotions. There has to be efforts in purifying your emotions. You've got to move from lust to love. So at the intellectual level, you've got to conceive thoughts of reality, the higher aspects of life. So these at body level, at mind level, at intellect level, and at the environment level also. At the environment level also, you've got to have things which are conducive for you to become detached. You know, if you are a person who is trying or struggling to concentrate in your studies, but in your study room, everywhere you have pictures of all the sportsmen, movie actors, how can you concentrate in your studies? So the environment should also be conducive. Your food habits should also be conducive. If in a day you have a schedule of studying for 1 hour or 1 hour 15 minutes, the body should cooperate for it. And therefore the food you take in is also in line with the purpose. This kind of living is called paradigm shift. See, this whole Gita, whole Vedanta is talking about this paradigm shift. First fix your goal and then set things in life. The problem is, majority of our life goes in collecting things, then we think, what kind of goal can I have? The stuff you accumulate in life should be in line with your goal. So therefore, the first thing that you got to fix is goal. Is it dharma, artha, kama, or is it moksha? What is my goal? What do I want? If I want to be a sportsman, then I need to eat certain things, I need to shape my body according to that sports. Different sports requires different kind of a body. So, it is not that I accumulate things in my body and then determine what kind of goal. No, first fix the goal. See, when we are in delusion, what we do is, we keep collecting things and then one fine day, we wonder what is the purpose of life? What can become my purpose? No, the purpose should be determined first and then the other things should be put to use towards that purpose. That is called living. So therefore, satsanga at the environment level, at the body level, at the mind level, at the intellect level. That is the most important thing he says. Satsangatve nissangatva. Without satsang, if you go on studying, it is like you are opening the tap to fill the bucket. But the bucket has 25 holes. So all the water gets leaked through the holes. Nothing stays put. So without sadhana, without good company, without tapasya, without these inner purifications, if you try to take in the knowledge, the siddhi will not come. So therefore, he is emphasizing the spiritual practices, spiritual sadhana when he talks about satsanga, good company. Satsangatve nissangatvam. Then nissangatve nirmohat. So the moment I start dropping the attachment, the exaggerated value I had for it, the delusory things that I was having my mind about those objects and beings are gone. Thereafter, the delusion is not there. That moha, that mad craving is gone. Which means what? The control has shifted to you. Now the control is on that side. Now the control is shifted to you. You are ready to lose it. Now, oh my God, if it loses, what will happen to me? I can't afford to lose it. Now you are ready to lose it because you are very clear. It is for my sake, I am not for that sake. The object is for my sake. I am not for the sake of the object. That's the delusion. That's the wrong thinking. So delusion means false thinking, wrong thinking. You go deeply. You have seen that in the 7th chapter and 9th chapter, I pointed it out to you. We think we are born in the world. There in the 7th and 9th chapter, he says, world is in you. You are not in the world, world is in you. This is the problem. So that is called delusion. You see it clearly. It's my attachment because of which I am suffering. But if you are deluded, then what you will say? World is making me suffer. How can world make you suffer? World is incapable of making you suffer. So, then the inside purification happens through the knowledge. Non-attachment happens. The reactions will reduce. Then once the reactions go, he says, nirmohatva, moha will go. Intellect after will not be confused. See, what is this moha today? You see, without that name, fame, power, position, status, I feel empty. While I'm actually full. In other words, I'm refusing to see the inner beauty. Therefore, I am deluded to believe I'm beautiful only with those ornaments, with those makeups. The makeups are for certain roles, not because you lack inner beauty. So the delusion is, I am lacking inner beauty. I am assuming that I am incomplete. So I will feel complete. I'm deluded to believe that I'll feel complete only with it. So what is intention? Scheming, planning, programming, how to work and get that. That's all. Whole life goes in this madness. All our life, what are we doing? Intellect is put to use only to get that finite object. So therefore, that's the delusion, nirmoha. The moha is at the intellect level, confusion. What is the confusion? Wayne Dyer beautifully says, you are thinking that you are the body, mind, intellect having a soul. It is actually the other way around. You are the soul experiencing through the body, mind, intellect. So this is the difference. Today you are thinking, you are the body, mind, intellect having a soul. But the truth is, you are the soul which is having human experience. You are not the human being having a soul. You are the soul having human experience. This is ulta thinking. See, when the world impinges on our retina, it impinges ulta. Then it gets corrected and then I am seeing you from head to toe. Otherwise, I will be seeing you from toe to head. So the same thing is happening. Inside the unwise people, the whole thing is ulta. I am thinking I'm a human being who is having a soul. No, I am the soul who's come to have a human experience. The moment I understand this, then nothing in this world can affect me. Because my thinking is clear. So that's all he's saying. Nirmoha. The moha delusion will gone. Right. Right will come means what is satya, what is mithya will be understood. What is dependent, what is independent will be understood. Today you are confused. A lot of people are confused about love. Some people think love means there has to be expressions. If the expressions are not there, there is no love. That's what they think. In fact, the deeper the love, the lesser the expressions. Not that you become incapable of expressing. You will have the ability to express, but it becomes less and less. Deep emotions, in fact, you've got to struggle to express. You may have deep emotions towards a family that has lost their, you know, head of the family or the only son or whatever. You feel like you have lost your own son. You'll go and be with them in silence. There's hardly any expressions, but there is deep love. But that majority of them don't understand. Majority will think you have love only if you have to beat the breast and roll down and then cry. Otherwise, they think you don't have love. So this kind of delusions, all the wrong thinkings, the conditionings will be gone. So everything that limits you, the conditionings are, see, when the child is born, the child is so innocent and pure, there is no conditionings. Nothing written. Child is a clean slate. But then we go on writing and writing and writing, and there are billions of things that are written. So the truth is hidden. What we know is a lot of things that is written about truth. Know the truth? That's what he's saying. You only read words talking about truth. You don't know the truth. Isn't it? Do you know the truth? That's what he's asking. If you really want to know the truth, you've got to shut the external. You cannot be in the external and trying to know the truth, because truth is personal. Truth is within you. Truth is not outside. As long as you're preoccupied outside, you can never know the inside. It's a completely different ballgame altogether. So if you really want to, then you've got to follow sense control. Satsanga. If the sins are running around in towards the world, you will be missing it. So you're trying to find the truth in the words. Words are born of memory. Please understand this. By the time you try to articulate the truth, it has become past. How can it be true? Truth cannot be captured in words. That's why nobody who's worth the name wrote any books. Swami Ramakrishna did not write any books. He only gave lectures. Upanishad masters didn't write. The truth was flowing, they spoke, that's all. Because truth, in fact, that is why in the Keno Upanishad, he says, it is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. It's one of the most fascinating statements. Is what you hear is not the truth. What makes you hear is the truth. All your notes is what you heard. Quickly you write. But what all your notes are, what you heard. And he says, none of them is truth. What you hear is not the truth. What made you hear is the truth. So if you want to capture the truth, you've got to be here. But where are you here? Even when we pursue the study will give me moksha. I've gone because intelligently what the mind does is it very intelligently postpones moksha to future. May liberation attain karma, today I'm studying. So I am thinking this study will give me liberation. No. When I'm ready, this study will give liberation right now. Please understand this. If it doesn't give you right now, it can never give you. How can liberation be given in future? Future is part of the mind. Past and future is mind. Truth is always in present. Past is history, dead and gone. Future is never born. It is imagination. It is unborn. It is belonging to the mind. So what the mind does is, it beautifully postpones. Oh, if you study now daily, if you struggle, you will attain self-realization. When? In future. So it should be a licking up at that. So I'm saying don't write. But the point we need to understand is liberation, if at all it comes in the present. So therefore, it is not in the words. It's beyond. So the delusion, there are so many things. So we think by getting all this, I will get there. That's the delusion. The way of spirituality and the way of the world is completely opposite each other. Here it is egoistical pursuit. There it is what you call it is losing. There it is dominating and courting and fighting and getting it. Here it is losing. There it is dominating and getting. Pounce. It's a completely two different worlds. So therefore he says that moha will be gone in your intellect. What is the moha? The moha is these things will help me. Just go and see in the burial ground or cremation ground. All those things that people collect thinking that it will come with them forever. Even if one or two is left in the body, it will be taken away there. None of the jewels, nothing. Everything will be taken away. So what do you really take with you? That's the only thing that you need to really value. That delusion will go, the true value of things and beings will be understood, he says. And then you will become steadfast in the pursuit of the reality. Nirmohatve nischalatatva. Then only you become steadfast. Nischalatatva is a person who is steadfast in the pursuit of the reality. He achieves it. Jivan Mukti. So Jivan Mukti means when the Sanchita Vasanas are exhausted through knowledge And by understanding that you are not the doer, Atma is not the doer, the Agami karma is also burnt. The Agami and Sanchita. Sanchita means total vasanas. Agami vasanas are those which you create having been born as a being. The moment you gain the knowledge and you understand that you are essentially Atma, which is a non-doer, and you start becoming a non-doer more and more, you will drop the Sanchita and Agami karma. Then you are practically speaking liberated soul. What? Thereafter you exist mainly because of the prarabdha karma, which gave you the momentum when you took birth. And that momentum will be exhausted over a period of time. When the momentum is exhausted, then the physical body is also given up. That's called the death. When that is also given up, thereafter there is no more birth. So he says, the way to liberate while being in the body is through satsanga. First establish satsanga at the outside level, then establish satsanga at the inside level without sense control, mere knowledge, without purification of emotions, mere knowledge will not help. Therefore, chitta and chitta ekagrata both needs to be attained before we gain the knowledge. And only then the knowledge will help you. This is the essence of this verse. This is how you can rise above the attachment. Let us conclude now. Om. Om Purnamidam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vishishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Buddhyatmanava Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adhyayat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Eti Samarpayami. Hari Om, see you all next week.
Hari Om Guru.